Okay, the boys, today's daf is daf Chof Aleph. We're holding at the top of the Yomud. As you recall, we had a Mishnah yesterday which listed perhaps 10 or 15 different mitzvahs where the Mishnah told us, Kol Hayoim Kosher. The whole day is kosher for every one of these mitzvahs. And the Gemara that we started learning yesterday brought the Mekoiros, the sources for each one of these dinim, each one of these mitzvahs.
Is it all the mitzvahs, or there are other mitzvahs that weren't mentioned?
There are others that weren't mentioned. In fact, the Gemara is going to bring them as well shortly. But the import of our Mishnah was that even though there are certain mitzvahs that we typically do first thing in the morning, if you missed it, you can do it the rest of the day. Just to give you the initial examples of our Mishnah, Kriyas HaMegillah, as we know, right after Shacharis, right after Kriyas HaTorah, we lay the Megillah. Same thing is, right after Shacharis and Miachim tomorrow, we're going to read Hallel. On Rosh Hashanah, beginning of Musaf, we start blowing the Shofar. Sukkot morning, after Shacharis, we start shuckling the Lulav. What would happen if for some reason a person is delayed and he cannot get to Kriyas HaMegillah or to Hallel or to blow the Shofar or to Tilas Lulav in the morning? First chance he gets is 3 o'clock in the afternoon on any one of those days. No problem, he can go and be Mekayim the Mitzvah at that time. Rashi points out, of course, there's a din of Zrizin Makdim in the Mitzvahs. We should always try to be Makdim early in the morning. Avada. But if for whatever reason you couldn't, you still have a full day to Makai. When we spoke about Kriyas HaHalel, I mentioned tomorrow. Tomorrow is Rish Chodesh. Really, Kriyas HaHalel doesn't apply to Rish Chodesh. It really applies to Yom Tovim and to Chanukah. Because that the week Lain Halal on Rish Chodesh, as you recall, we had earlier on in our Masechta, is really a minhag. It is not necessary. Of course, today we've taken upon ourselves as a chiyuv, but it doesn't rise to the same level as Yom Tov and on Chanukah. For instance, if a person finds himself davening b'yachidus, it's already questionable whether he should make a bracha or not. That's why one should strive to say Halal with the minyan, and then everybody agrees you make a bracha. But anyway, on to our Gemara. One of the things that was mentioned in the Mishnah was Arifas HaEgla. We know what the din of Arifas HaEgla is, that if Chas V'Sholayim, someone is murdered, we don't know who killed him. What you have to do is you have to go and measure to the closest town, the closest community, and after you find the closest town, then you have to go and take an Egla, a young calf, you have to decapitate it, and one has to say a whole couple of psukim which are set out in the Torah. Among them you have to go and say, Yadeinu leshofchos adam hazeh, veineinu leiro, kaper li'amcha Yisrael asher padisa. So we use a term of kaper. Says Yimura Amit ve'rabyanai kapor eksiv ba kikotchim. Since we learned yesterday that when you want to bring a korbin, there's a pasuk that says biyoim. We had this back on the Amud Beis. We had a number of psukim, but if you look all the way in the bottom, three lines from the bottom, it says biyoim tzavoisi es b'nei Yisrael lihakriv es korbin mehem. So when you want to go be makriv a korbin, it's got to be biyoim, right? Three lines from the bottom, Brother Shai. Biyoim tzavoisi es b'nei Yisrael lihakriv es korbin mehem. And every time that you bring a korbin, it brings a kapara. Here too, it says, Kaper liyamcha Yisrael ha-shepadisa, we learn kapara, kapara. You can go and do an Arifas Egla throughout the day. Well, the Taras Mitzoy.
From Rabbi Meiselman, this pasuk is also the makor for saying Yisra, because we see that the mesim need a kapara. It's Kaper liyamcha Yisrael ha-shepadisa, talking about the Yotzei Mitzrayim in the Kapara, so we know that Makor, and he said that was the Makor.
For things, okay.
Anyway, for those who are interested.
Yeshikoich, very nice. Ula Taras Metzoyra. Taras Metzoyra means at the beginning of Parshas Metzoyra, it tells us a person who previously was a Metzoyra. A Metzoyra, as we know, means a person that has these, in English they call it leprosy, it's not really leprosy, but similar to these white spots on a person's body. And finally, Baruch Hashem, they went away. Kodesh Baruch Hu gave him a tahara. And now he wants to return to society. He's been sitting out michutz l'machane during this entire time of being a metzayda. So it says in the pasuk, He comes to the Kohen, and the Kohen determines, Vine nirpa nega hatzaras min hatzarua, Baruch Hashem, the Metzora is now gizunt, no more white blotches, he is wonderful. However, he still cannot go back into the Machne until he does certain rituals which are set forth in the Torah. What are those? You have to go and take two tziporim, eight eres, Ezoiv Shni Taloas, you have to go and shecht one of the tziporim, take it and dip it into Mayim Chayim together with the blood of the tzipor that was geshochten, and then you have to dip in Eitzerev's Ezoiv Shni Taloas, you send away that second bird. Anyway, that's one of the things that the Mitzvah has to do. The question is, can he do it at night? Does it have to be in the morning, in the afternoon? Says the pasuk b'yom tarasai. It says Amishta kol yom kosher. You could do it any time during the day. Until now, we spoke about the day mitzvahs. Now let's speak about the night mitzvahs. Kol alayla kosher ktsira sa'oimer. Says the Imar Yomemar ktsira usvira balayla. The ktsira sa'oimer was done at night. The svira sa'oimer was done at night. Baba b'yom, and the bringing of the oimer is done during the day. Meaning, we all know that the Omer was brought on the first day of Chol HaMoed in Yerushalayim, in the Beis HaMikdash. For us in Chutzlar, it's the second day of Yom Tov, but for them it was the first day of Chol HaMoed. Okay, and when did they go and cut the Omer? The Omer was a korban made out of barley. When did they cut that barley? On Matzah Yom Tov HaRishon of Pesach. People went out into the fields, cut the barley, and that night they had a lot of work to do, because they first had to dry this moist barley out, they had to toast it, and then they had to go and crush it into flour, and then they had to go and bake it. Anyway, they had to go and make a ganze korban oimer. So the ktsira was done at night. Svira, like we have svira oimer today. We go and count the svira oimer, we count it at night. And you don't have to go and count it right after Maariv, you can go and count it the whole night. And the Ksiris Oim also can be the whole night, except that the Ksiris Oim, you better start pretty early, because there's a lot of work to do. Vavon, the bringing of the Oimer, of course, that you bring during the day. In the Mishnah we said that if you brought Karbonis during the day, you can be Makter, the Chalev, and the Eivorim, the entire night. Now what is the difference between Chalev and Eivorim? Chalev applies across the board to all animal karbonis, whether you bring a karbon oila, or a karbon shlamim, or a karbon machatas, or a karbon oshim, or a karbon bechor, maser, pesach, whatever you're bringing, you have the chalovim. The chalovim have to go on the mizbech. A varim is referring specifically to a karbon oila, where there you put the entire karbon, it's kula kalil. So then you put the Eivorim as well on the Mizbech. Okay, so what happened if the person went and brought the carbon 10 o'clock in the morning, and the Kahanim went and took care of the whole carbon from beginning to end, but they left over the Chalavim Eivorim, they didn't have time to do it during the day. It's kosher kol halayla. How do I know? Dechsiv. Kol halayla ara boiker. You can continue putting those Chalavim Eivorim the entire night onto the Mizbech. And then we get to the end of the mission, which says Zeh HaKlal. This is the general rule. Davish Mitzvosim B'Yoyim Kosher Kol Hayoyim. So you'll remember that Ariel asked a couple of minutes ago, is the Mishnah's list an exhaustive list of all those things which are Kshayim B'Yoyim? And you remember that it says at the end of the Mishnah Zeh HaKlal. Now the question is, what do I need the Zeh HaKlal for? The Klal, the general rule is Davish Mitzvosim B'Yoyim Kosher Kol Hayoyim. Then I didn't need this whole list. Or the other way around. Now that I have the whole list, what do I need the Zeh HaKlal? Says the Mishnah, Zeh HaKlal Lasuya Mai. Does it include something else? And the answer is yes. Lasuya Sidr Bazichen Vesiluk Bazichen. Oker B'yoisi. What is this all about? As we know, the Lechem Aponim had a changing of the guard every single Shabbos. What do you mean? What means changing of the guard? Every single Shabbos, they put the new lechem upon him onto the shulchan, and they took the old lechem upon him, and they removed it from the shulchan. At the same time, they also took off the bezichei levoina. Bezichei levoina were small little containers of levoina at the top of the shulchan. Those bezichei levoina were taken to the mizbeach, and they were makter the levoina. Levoina is incense. Was they were makdir it on the Mizbeach, and as a result, now the Kahana were able to eat from the new lechem, from the old lechem upon him that was sitting on the Shulchan for the last week. How did they divide it up? We already said
seven and five,
exactly right, like we had in earlier Masechta. Good. That's as far as the old. Now the new one they put onto the Shulchan, and they put the new Bezich Levayna to be removed a week later. Now for people who think to themselves, well, a week, you can leave the lechem on the Shulchan for a whole week. By the end of the week, it's going to be pretty stale. And as we all know, the Gemara says in Masechtas Chagiga and other places that there was a nest with the lechem upon him. Silukai kis sidurai. A week later, as they're taking it off, it's still piping hot. They might even have to wear gloves because that's how hot it was. And you could see the steam coming up, and they would allow the Oli Regil to come and see, and they would say, Ru'u chibaschem lefnei hamokam. Look how much Hashem Yisbarach loves Klal Yisrael. That the lechem upon him, which has been on the Shulchan, not in the freezer, not in the refrigerator, not in plastic bags, they've been on the Shulchan for a whole week, and they're still fresh, now, piping hot, steam. Who were the ones that made the base karma, correct.
So, yeah.
And the base of Tinas were the people that made the Kairos.
Perfect.
Right.
But it wasn't so simple because other people tried it.
Yeah, absolutely. Aksana Shemutzroin.
Only priests could eat it?
Only the priests could eat it, correct. Only the Kairos.
We're excluded, unfortunately.
Well, we're not, you know the famous story with Rav Schwab, Zuchan Avracha. There's a Rav Schwab writes that when he was a Bacher, he went to visit the Chofetz Chaim. Chofetz Chaim was a Kohen. Rav Schwab was a Yisrael. And he went into the Chofetz Chaim, and the Chofetz Chaim sat him down and said to him, tell me, what are you? Are you Kohen or Levi Yisrael? He says, I'm Yisrael. So the Chofetz Chaim says, I'm a Kohen. Do you know why I'm a Kohen and why you're Yisrael? Because years and years and years ago, when it came the time of the Egel, Moshe Rabbeinu said, Mi l'Hashem Eloi, who is going to be with me? Whoever fully believes in Hashem, come to me. Who were the ones that stood up and said, Moshe Rabbeinu, we're with you? Only the Shevet HaLevim. Levim, they came, the Kahanim, the Levim, they came. Because of that, for all generations, they have that exalted status of being Kahanim. And therefore, one of the rights and responsibilities, one of the responsibilities is, of course, that they have to do the Avodah. But that's also one of their rights. Their right to go and have all the kabbonis, including the right to eat the lechem upon him. We didn't say Mil Hashem Eloi. We didn't immediately rise to the occasion. So the Chofetz Chaim says, generations later, thousands of years later, the Kodesh Baruch Hu is still Makar Tov to all those that said Mil Hashem Eloi, who joined Moshe Rabbeinu. They get this covered. That's why the Kohanim get the first Aliyah, etc. Because they said Mil Hashem Eloi. Anyway, getting back to our Gemara. So the Gemara says that you remove the lechem upon him and you put the new lechem upon him on, you took off the old bezichin and you put in the new bezichin. What different in time is there between the old and the new? So Rashi tells us that the Rabbanan hold that this took place not contemporaneously, but simultaneously. You had two groups of Kahanim. One group of Kahanim that was taking the lechem upon him off, and as they're taking it off, the other Kahanim are putting the new lechem upon him on. It's almost as the new lechem upon him is pushing the old one off. Not literally, but
like the eternal flame and never goes out?
Exactly. And the reason why that's important is because it said in the pasuk that it should be tamid. It should be on the shulchan, tamid lefnei Hashem. That tamid means at all times, 24 hours a day, like you say, the eternal flame. However, Rabbi Yossi respectfully disagrees. Rabbi Yossi says Tumid is satisfied as long as on the same day, on that Shabbos day, you did not leave Shabbos with the Shulchan without bread. So therefore, you could have taken the Shul, you could have taken the Lechem upon him off 9 o'clock in the morning, and then Makter the Bzich Levayna, and put the brand new Lechem at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Rabbi Yossi says that's fine. There is no chiyuv that has to be done simultaneously. That's what our Mishnah is coming to tell us according to Rabbi Yossi. Ze'aklal, devisha b'tzvasa b'yoyim. Something that you have to do during the day. I have to put the new lechem upon him on during the day. Fine, kosher kolayim, I got a whole day. You don't have to rush. You can do it 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, later in the afternoon. Like the Gemara says, Ya klal lesu yamai lesu yisidit bezichen. Vesilik bezichen, or it could be oisi, besanya bioisi aymer. Silik es hayishana, shachris, if he took off the old in the morning. Vesilik zachadosha arvis, and he put the new one on. Arvis doesn't mean at night, it means in the afternoon. Ein bekach klum, that's all so good. Ah, Yomani Mechaim, what am I going to do about the fact that it says in the Pasuk that it's got to be there, Tamid? It doesn't say Lefnei Hashem Tamid, it says Lefanai Tamid. You see on the left-hand margin. Shalayeh Shulchan Blei Lechem, that you shouldn't go the whole day without replacing the Lechem upon him. However, if you did it 5 minutes before Shkia, that's also good. Now the obvious question is, why did the Mishnah enumerate this? Why did it leave it to the Zeh HaKlal, to the general rule? And the answer is because all the others listed in the Mishnah are unanimous. There is no machloikis that you have the whole day. It's by the lechem upon him where there's a machloikis. And therefore the Tan of our Mishnah wants to show support to Rabbi Yossi. And therefore he says, there are other cases as well. What other cases? Oh, the Rabbi Yossi case. And Evacharabi, according to Rabbanan, the Gemara doesn't find another additional case.
What about Bris Mila?
Bris Mila is also... What you're asking is a good question. Bris Mila is missing here in our Mishnah.
Right.
If you go back to the Omer Aleph, it says in the Mishnah, Ein koinus ha-megillah v'loi malin, v'loi toivlin v'loi mazin. It's got to be done during the day. You can't do it at night. So our Mishnah says, koinus ha-megillah, malin and toivlin. There are those that ask the Kasha, then if that's the case, why didn't it say malin and toivlin and the others that we had in the Mishnah yesterday, in the Mishnah today? And they say that what it says in the beginning of the Mishnah, that's really cross-referencing all the cases of yesterday. The Koinus HaMegillah, the Malin, the Toivlin, the Mazin, anything Mishnah mentioned, that Mishnah is all encapsulated in the Koinus HaMegillah. You remember what we learned before, that has to be done during the day and not at night, and it's got to be done from Netzach Hama and not from Amud HaShachar. But the Evan Amud HaShachar is good, but Chachal and Netzach Hama. Now our Mishnah piggybacks on that Mishnah. Moreover, if you see the Mishnah that we learned yesterday, when it starts called Yom Kosher, the Kriyas HaMegillah, Rashi says, the first Rashi in the Mishnah says, Kaliyim Kosh, you see the first Rashi in the Mishnah, Chofa Medbeis, see at the top, the Avagab, the Kaimulan, Zeriz, Makdim, and the Mitzvah, Techsiv, Vayashkim Avram Baboker. Where does it say Vayashkim Avram Baboker? It says, by Bris Mila, by the...
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, with
the Akedah.
Yeah.
You're right. I stand corrected. It says by the Akedah. Sorry. But we learn from there. That's the reason why we do the bris the first thing in the morning, in other words, right after davening, and we don't make a bris in the afternoon or the evening to go and make a ganze dinner, because of this, Vayashkim Avram. You're right. So
theoretically, you can make it at night?
A bris?
Yeah.
No, you cannot.
So why wouldn't it be included in that list?
That was your question. And the answer is that the Mishnah is just piggybacking from the previous Mishnah. We, of course, have a whole bunch of Gemara in between.
Right.
However, in the Mishnah, it's they go one after the other. So this Mishnah, what it says, Kol Hayoyim Kosh LeKriyas HaMegillah, he's going back not only on Kriyas HaMegillah, but also Malin on the Bris.
So is there some Mishnah that says Bris Mila is all day?
The previous Mishnah on Chof Amud Aleph that we learned yesterday says, when do you do Kriyas HaMegillah? When do you do Mila? When do you do Tvila? Hazor? All of these things have to be done from after Netzach Hama and not earlier than that, from Amud HaShachar. Netzach Hama today was approximately 7:20. Amud HaShachar was 6:08. What that Mishnah told us is, L'chadchila, you gotta wait to 7:20, don't start at 6:08. Our Mishnah then continues on, and if you waited until 7:20, you don't have to do it immediately at 7:21, you can wait the entire day. Mm-hmm. So therefore, the Mishnah is going back on all of those cases, right, starting off with Kriyas HaMegillah, inclusive of all the others. That's what some of the Mefarshim say to explain and answer your question. The Gemara continues on the last tikkala lasuya ma lasuya achilas psochim. I'm sorry, davish v'tzosim alayla kosher kol layla. We said that those things that are of the mitzvah at night, you can do the whole night. Lasuya ma, what does it come to include? Lasuya achilas psochim. Utloiker blaze ben azaria. It's now Seder night. You're eating from the Karban Pesach. How long can you eat from the Karban Pesach? Says our Mishnah, sub silentio, in silence. It says, you can eat the Karban Pesach a whole night. You can go and eat the basa b'layla zeh. Amr Blaz ben Azari, and nemer kan b'layla zeh, and nemer alon. V'yavat v'eretz Yisrael b'layla zeh. It says v'ochlus a basa b'layla hazeh. You eat the basa that night. The basa meaning the Karban Pesach b'layla zeh. And it says Kadosh Baruch Hu said, Chatzois halayla ni yoytze b'soich Mitzrayim. Kadosh Baruch Hu came out at Chatzois time. Moshe Rabbeinu said, Kachatzois, Bachatzois. And what does it say? Vavayti beitz shayim balayla zeh malalon. Just like by that balayla zeh, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu went throughout Mitzrayim and he killed all of the firstborn of the Mitzrayim, when did that take place? Chatzois. Afkan, when it says that you can eat the basa balayla zeh, means until Chatzois. Ah, if that's the case, and it's not kosher kol halayla, our Mishnah comes to exclude Reb Blazer ben Azariah to say that you can eat achilas pesachim a whole night. That's what the Tavish Mesos Malayla Zehaklal comes to be Marva. So you'll ask again, so why does it say Befeish in the Mishnah? Because once again it's a Machloikis, and the Mishnah gives those examples where it's unanimous. The Machloikis we left to the Zehaklals, because after all there's a Machloikis. The Maisa today doesn't make a difference because, well, unfortunately we don't have Achilles Karm Pesach, but we do have the Achilles Afikoman. And that's why we are makbid to eat the afikoman before chatzos, and at least many households do. Try now. Don't ask so many kashas. We have to eat the afikoman before chatzos. You'll ask the kashas later on. Number one is because of Blaz ben Azariah, but also even according to Rabbanan, you'll remember from the first Mishnah Masechtas Brachos that even those things which are kosher kol halayla, the Chacham said made agzeira, do it before chatzos, so it shouldn't come liday nosa. So even according to the Rabbanan, halacha lemaisa, you're supposed to eat the Karban Pesach before Chatzos, not min hatayra, but mid Rabbanan. Okay, halacha kreil lemafreya, we begin a brand new Mishnah. The Mishnah starts off telling us hilchos kriyas hamegillah, but quickly goes off on a tangent to talk about kriyas hatayra. Says the Mishnah, kriyas hamegillah, oymeid v'yoyshev, the balkorei could go and stand when he's reading the Megillah, or if the Balkori wants to, he can sit when he is reading the Megillah. Al pi halacha, that is mutter. Kara echad karua shnai. You can have one Balkori reading. You could theoretically have two Bali Kriya reading at the same time. Yotzu, your yotze. Now this is a big chidush, because we'll see on the Amid Beis that during Kriya Satoira, you're not allowed to have two people laning together at the same time, because trei koli loy mishtami. Trei koli mishtami means you cannot hear two voices laning at the same time. So why is Megillah different? We'll see Miyat Shem on the Amid Beis. Mokim shenog levarach yivarach v'shloy levarach lo yivarach. In those places where the custom was to make a bracha on the Megillah, you make a bracha. Those places where the custom was not to make a bracha, you don't make a bracha. The Gemara is going to explain on the Amid Beis, we're not talking about the brachos pre-Megillah laning, that is universal. What we're talking about is the bracha after Megillah laning, where you say, Harav es Rivenu, Adon es Dinenu, Anoikim es Nikmasenu. That bracha at the end, there were different customs in Klal Yisrael, whether they did say that bracha or not. For instance, today, if you are laning in a private minyan, not Bitzibur, we don't make the bracha le'acharel. Continuing the Mishnah, back to now Kriya Satayr. B'sheni b'chamishi b'shabbos, on Mondays and on Thursdays. And then b'mincha, is a word missing. Rashi adds the word, u'b'shabbos b'mincha. In other words, the word b'shabbos should be repeated twice. B'sheni b'chamishi b'shabbos, that means Monday and Thursday of the week. And b'shabbos b'mincha, on Shabbos mincha time, koyin shloisha, you only have three aliyos. Ein poich samim, you can't do less than three. They may see for a lane, and you don't add more than three. Ein maftir menavi, and you don't say haftir menavi at that time. Why can't you have four or five aliyos on Monday and Thursday, or for mincha b'shabbos? Says Rashi, because Monday and Thursdays are yemei malacha. People gotta go to work. You don't want to go and tie them down to Bismedish for hours and hours. Can you imagine if you could make Hoysophis on Mondays and Thursdays? It would become a free-for-all. People wouldn't want to come to Minyan. And therefore, we don't want to tax the people that they have to wait and again and again. Three aliyahs and you're out. What do you say about Mincha on Shabbos? Rashi says typically on Shabbos people listen the whole Shabbos to drushes and to shiurim, and now Mincha is late in the day. They still have to eat Shabbos Shudas. They still have to finish off Shabbos Kodesh. Can't go and tax them at the final moment. So you look quickly at the Rashi. Rashi is about halfway down the Rashi's. Bein Moisif and Aleid. Shlo Yiksha Litzibur, not to make it difficult for the Tzibur. Mnei Shehen Yimei Malacha. After all, it's Monday and Thursdays. It's Labor Day. You gotta go to work. B'Shabbos B'Mincha, Samach Lecha Sheikhahu. Shabbos people typically daven shortly before night. Shari Kol HaYoyim Hayu Regin Lidrash. Because the whole day they were busy going to Shiurim and Droshes and all the rest. And now it's late in the day. And if you're gonna start making a long Mincha, it's gonna go into night. You won't be able to eat Shalash Shudas, etc. So, your Mekatzer Ein Moisif and Aleh. They maftir menovi. The next Rashi, why don't you do haftorah? Says Rashi, mishum haytai megufa, for the exact same reason. No haftorah during the week for shachris. No haftorah by mincha because of this concern during the week because it'll be tzimei malacha and Shabbos because it's late. Continuing on the Mishnah, they maftir mishum hapaseach vachoisim batoyra mevarach lefaneo lacharel. The first person that gets the aliyah, meaning the kohen typically, and the person who had the shlishi, they are the ones that make the bracha lefaneh, meaning the kohen makes the first bracha, Hashem bachar banu. That's it. The Levi makes no bracha at all. The Yisrael who gets shlishi, he only makes the final bracha, shenosalonu teiras emes. In between, no further brachas. So the poseach makes the first bracha, the chose makes the final bracha. Obviously, that is not our custom today. The Gemara will address that on the Amud Beis. Now, Barash HaChadoshim, like tomorrow, Rish Chodesh, Ubechadosh HaMoed, Koyrin Arba, there are four aliyos. Ein Poichsin Mihen, Ve'ein Moisif and Aleim. Again, nothing less than that four, and you cannot add a fifth or a sixth aliyah. Rashi says again for the same reason, because people gotta go to work. Ay, it's Chol HaMoed, says Rashi, but there are people that have to go to work for Meleches Dover HaOved. If it's the type of thing that has to be done today, for whatever financial reasons, that it's, you're allowed to do that malacha. We don't want to hold people back. But again, for the same reason, they maftir menavi. You can't go and say after menavi, so not to hold the people back. And again, the Mishnah repeats, the first person and the final person, they make brachis. Zehaklal. Any type of day which is, you say musaf, or where in Beis Hamidrash there was a carbon musaf, but it's not a yontif. The only two in that category are Rosh Chodesh, tomorrow we mention we're going to say musaf, and Chol HaMoed, but they're not yontif. Chol HaMoed is a shtikle yontif, but it's not a full-fledged yontif. Kohen Abba, four. Now, when you get to Yom Tov, it's Chamisha, five aliyahs. Yom Kippurim is Shisha, six aliyahs. B'Shabbos Shiva, seven aliyahs. In Poichs Mehem, Avol Moisif and Aleim, but you can be Moisif. The Meforshim learn Pshat in the Rashi, that since Rashi said that the reason why you're not Moisif by the three aliyahs during the week and four on Rosh Chodesh and Chol HaMoed is because people have to go to work, then Yom Tov, Yom Kippur, and Shabbos, we don't go to work, so Rashi L'Chayr would hold that on Yom Tov you can also add more aliyahs. However, that is not the view of other Rishayim. They disagree with the Rashi, and therefore they hold that the only time you can add aliyahs is on Shabbos. And therefore, the question is, how do you punctuate the Mishnah? The way Rashi learns, you learn it all together. B'yantav Chamisha, B'yam Kippurim Shisha, B'Shabbos Shiva, Ein Poich Smehen, Avo Moisif and Aleh. Which would be Mashma, you Moisif on all three. However, if you're not learning like Rashi, you'll put a dot after B'yam Kippurim Shisha. B'yantav Yav Chamisha, B'yam Kippurim Yav Shisha. And you don't add, don't subtract, five and six. B'Shabbos Shiva, Ein Poich Smehen, Avo Moisif and Aleh, but you can be Moisif on Shabbos. And by the way, when Yom Tov falls down on Shabbos, then you are allowed to be Moisif, not because of Yom Tov, but because of Shabbos. So if you haven't come to a shul and there's a simcha, where there are many chiyuvim, and it's Yom Tov that falls out on Shabbos, you can have more than five aliyahs, more than Shabbos, you have seven aliyahs, you can have more than that, you can add as many as you can.
So how do they change the
punctuation? Here in our Mishnah says, Ein Poich Smehen Avo Moisif Aleh. What is that modified? Does a Moisif and Aleh only modify Shabbos? certainly modify Shabbos because Shabbos is the last one. Or does it modify Ulti Yom Tov and Yom Kippur? If it modifies all three, then it sounds like on Yom Tov you're allowed to be moist. That is not our custom. We hold you're not allowed to. So they have to go and put the punctuation. Yom Tov is Chamisha, Yom Kippur, Bishisha, period. End of sentence. Right. New sentence. Bishabish. And we see for now. Good. And what do you mean? Of course, we say the Haftorah on all of those days. Again, the first person that gets the first aliyah, Kohen, and the person that gets the final aliyah, Shvi or Mafter, they are the only ones that make a bracha, and each one only makes one bracha. He makes the bracha lefanel, and the final one makes the bracha leacharel. Tosis is bothered by the fact, why does the Mishnah have to repeat this three times? It would have been enough to say that every time you lay, the first person makes the bracha, and the last person makes the bracha. You don't have to repeat it. You see, look, twice, and before the end. It would have been enough to say, every time you lay, the Pesach and the Chosei. I might have thought the more aliyos, the more brachos. You're giving seven people aliyos, at least two, three, four, five people should make a bracha. No, it makes no difference. It's a rule across the board, the first and the final one. Why did that change? We'll see Mitchum on the Amid base.
So how does Tosfos answer why they said it three times?
To go and I might have thought, let's say if it only say it at the very outset, I would say only because there are only three aliyahs. So that's why we don't repeat the bracha more than once. In other words, the first one and the final one. However, if you're talking about seven aliyahs, I might have thought, well, there's such a big expanse between your Kohen and the final aliyah. It's half an hour, 45 minutes, depending, of course, on the rate of the Balkori and how long the parish is, I might have think you'd add a couple of more brachas in the middle. Kamash Malon, no, it makes no difference whether it's the three aliyahs, four aliyahs, five, six, seven, whatever the number is, it's always the first one and the final one. To get that point across, it's across the board. Says the Gemara, Tana, we learned in the Mishnah that Megillah laning, you can lay standing or sitting. Tana, Masha'inkim Ha'Torah, when it comes to Torah laning, that you have to go and stand. What's the reason why? Because of the kavod of the Sefer Torah. And the Gemara said, Minani, Mili, what's the raya that is an inyan in standing? Amr Bavodi, Amakra, it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu called over Moshe Rabbeinu, and he said, Va'ata poi amoid imadi, you Moshe Rabbeinu, you stand together with me. The Amr Bavohu, El Moli Mikra Kosef, if it wasn't for the fact that the Pasuk uses those words, it would be almost blasphemous. Yefshele Oimrei, how can you go and say, Kavayochel Afa Kodesh Baruch Amida, Kodesh Baruch is standing? Kodesh Baruch doesn't have a physical feature or physical structure. Kodesh Baruch is a Kodesh Baruch. We have no idea what a Kodesh Baruch looks like, but we do not ascribe to Kodesh Baruch anything physical. So it's only because the Pasuk says it, we're able to go and use those words. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense. And therefore, since the Pasuk uses Amida, when you lay, you got to do it by Amida. The Amr Bavo, same Amr Bavo says, Minay le Rav shel Yishev al Gabi Mita, Yishne le Talmidav al Gabi Karka, a Rav should go and sit on the same level with everybody else. He should not sit on a Mita. Mita literally means a bed, but it means really a chair, and have all the Talmidim sitting on the Karka. But rather, what should be the case? Rashi says 5-6 lines before the end. Shlo yeshiv al gabi mita, ela oishneim al gabi mita. Everybody should be sitting on chairs. Oishneim al gabi karko. Everybody should be sitting on the ground. But for him to go and sit exalted, everybody on the ground, that's not the way to do it. Shnemar viata poyam oidim oidim. Just like Kodesh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, we're on the same level. We're going to stand together. So too, the rabbi and the Talmud should all be together. Presumably, there will be an exception if the rabbi is teaching 1,000 Talmidim, and the last people in the back can't see him, then presumably he'll be allowed to sit on an exalted position, on a platform, but once again, our Gemara doesn't address that. Tanavan, Mimois Moshe Avadam Gamliel, from times of Moshe Ben Tanavan Gamliel, family, Hoyu Loim, made them Torah Elam Umid. When they learned Torah, everybody was standing at the shtender, at the table. They didn't sit down. That's covered at Torah. Mishmeis Ram Gamliel, Yorad Choyli Oilam, when Ram Gamliel passed away, there was a general weakness that fell on the whole world. For even made them Torah Miyushim, they didn't have Koyach anymore to stand the whole day. They had to sit down. That's what it says in the Mishnah, Mishmeis Ram Gamliel. Bottle Kavod HaTorah. When Rav Gamliel passed away, the Kavod HaTorah that there was until that time, that everybody would always stand the entire day when he's learning Torah, unfortunately, because of the general weakness, people had to start sitting. Now, by Moshe Rabbeinu it says, Kos of Echad Oymer, V'eshe Bahar. Moshe Rabbeinu says about himself that he sat on the mountain, meaning Bahar Sinai, Arboim Yoim V'Arboim Laila. He sat. Because of Echad Oymer, V'noichi Amadati Bahar, I stood on the mountain. So make up your mind, was Moshe Rabbeinu sitting, or was Moshe Rabbeinu standing? So the Gemara gives a couple of answers. Omer Rav, Oymer V'loimed Yoishev V'shayna. Oymer V'loimed means when he was listening to the Rabbeinu Shalom, because Baruch Hu was the ultimate teacher, teaching Moshe Rabbeinu the Torah. When he was learning from Hashem, he was standing. When Kadosh Baruch Hu said, okay, I give you a chance now to do some chazara, Kadosh Baruch Hu went away, Kaviyachu, Moshe Rabbeinu was now on his own, Yoshe V'Shoini sat down to go and review the learning that he had just learned. The Shoini means to review, to chazar. Reb Chanina Amar, Le'omid V'Le'yoshev El Shoicha. He wasn't really standing fully erect, and he wasn't sitting either, but he was bent over, leaning over. So since he's a shtikla standing and a shtikla sitting, that's why the two psukim say standing and sitting, but really he was doing neither of the two. He was in a middle position, half sitting, half standing. Rabbi Yochanan Amar in Yeshiva El Lashon HaKava. The whole kasha is nishka kasha, because when it says the Eishin Bahar, it doesn't mean sitting, it means like residing. Shenema, like it says in the Pasuk, Vateishu b'kodesh yomim rabim. The Pasuk says that you, Klal Yisrael, lived in Kodesh, Kodesh in the name of a place, for many days. It doesn't mean that everybody was sitting the entire time. The word over here, yeshiva, is like the word yishuv. Like in Eretz Yisrael, you have a yishuv. A yishuv is a moishuv. You have a town, a city, a community. So Vateishu doesn't mean to sit, it means that they resided. So Moshe Rabbeinu was residing on the mountaintop, but not that he was sitting necessarily. Rava Amarakis Mu'umid the Koshis Miyushiv. It depends what they were learning. If what they were learning was an easy learn, then they were able to go and stand. However, if it was something more difficult, Mesachtas Yevamis, then they had to go and sit down, because that requires not only Yishuv Hadas, but also Yeshiva. To be able to fully concentrate and not worry about your bones. Oh, yeah, yeah, I'm so tired. My legs have been standing for 8 hours. Sit down, Yeshiva Das, to be able to go and delve more deeply into the Gemara. So we have four answers altogether, the Yeshiva and the Amidah. If the two people laying together in the Megillah, you're Yotze. Tana, we don't embrace the Mashiach, Enkim HaTorah, but not by Torah. By Kriyas HaTorah, it's got to be one person, and the reason why Rashi says, Trei Koli Loi Mishtami. You cannot hear two people laying at the same time. So how can you hear by Megillah?
Yeah.
The Gemara addresses that in another seven lights. Tana, but we don't embrace it. Ba'toira, when the leading Torah on Shabbos, Echad Kari, have one Balkore, the Echad Metargim. In the good old days, they had a Metargim. Metargim means a person who would go and translate the leading into Aramaic for the benefit of the Amaratzim that didn't understand what's going on. They would translate it.
Did they do this from memory, or they...
The Metargim?
Sorry, we translate with the Balkore, because yesterday it seemed to imply that when you're missing certain letters or whatever of the Megillah, he's doing it from memory.
There's no question by the Megillah that that's the halach. Yeah. Even today, if you have a Megillah that is, if you will, deficient, that it's missing a letter here, or missing a letter there, the Balkori can lay it Balpe. But here we're learning, talking about the Sefer Torah.
Right.
And the Sefer Torah, if it's missing a couple letters, no good.
Right.
And even if it has the entire Sefer, if the Balkori closes his eyes and he reads a few words Balpe, also no good. It's got to be reading Mitoicha Sefer. Here we're talking about the Balkore, it's got to be a single Balkore, and the Metargim has got to be a single Metargim. Don't have two Metargim. Rashi says, the Kolshkein don't have two Balikriya. It's got to be one Balkore and one Metargim. But when it comes to Benavi, Echad Kore, Ushnai Metargim, there you can have two Metargim. But don't have two people who are reading the Navi, but you can have two Metargim. Now you're wondering to yourself, Manishtana, why by the Targum on the Chumash you're not allowed to have Shnai Metargum, and by the Novi you're saying you're Mavachli Yushnai Koyin Shnai Metargum? Why? What's the difference? Why over there are you more concerned? And the answer, says Rashi, is because when it comes to Torah, there we are being metargimit for the benefit of the Ami Ha'aretz, and this way they will learn the halachas. They'll learn, oh, really? This Hilchas Bishul, Hilchas Shabbos, Hilchas Chazir, Kashrus, Shatnes, Tzitzis. They might not know otherwise. They never went to yeshiva. They never learned. So you have the metargim, the person who's going and translating it for them. If you can have two people translating, I'm not going to be able to hear what each one is saying, and I'm going to be lost. But when it comes to Navi, Navi doesn't teach us that much halacha. It's more just teaching us the stories that happened in the times of the Nevi'im, and gives us, of course, these are wonderful stories to give us hadracha and to nevuah, but does not halacha lemaisa. See here, nishke ferlech, if you have two metargim. Don't have two reading and two metargim, have one that is korei.
But they're translating from what they heard at that point, or they're saying from memory what they knew of the Targum.
You're asking about the Targumim? Targumim could very well have had a chumash in front of them, or whatever. It doesn't say. There's no, the chiv is not the chiv like Kriyas HaTorah. It's really just for the benefit of the Amoraim. And that's, as you know, that is no longer the custom in the general communities. I think among the Taimina, among the Yemenites, they still retain this custom that someone translates everything into Targum after the Baal Kori reads it. They do it every Pasuk, every two Pesukim or whatever. Finally, let's get back to us. Even if 10 people are reading simultaneously, and even if 10 are being Matargim, it's not a problem. Why? My timer. Oh, when it comes to Megillah, everybody wants to hear every nuance of the Megillah and to be able to correct the Baal Korei. But also, when do I start taking my Grager and screaming and banging on Haman, etc. This is such a Dover Chovev. Everybody loves to hear the Megillah lining. Afterwards, they come back.
And that kind of derides Torah. Meaning that people, the Torah reading is in Chovev.
It's not that it derides it, we're talking about human nature. Since you hear the laning every single week, you know, okay.
Yeah. It becomes rote?
Something similar. Mashenke, when it comes to Megillah, everybody is piping up fresh, listening carefully to every word. So even if you have...
But 10 simultaneous people reading, how are you making sense?
I mean, so it's, in fact, it says that if you could not hear it because of the multiple readings, then ain't a chadami, it's not no good. But if they're only one or two or three, or even the 10, if they're doing it synchronized like a symphony, they're all doing it together, and you're able to discern their voices and what they're saying, then it's okay.
You had that earlier in Daf where you had two people reading. I'm trying to remember what was the circumstances. We said the Chavivas of the mitzvah that they are going to pay attention.
We had the same Gemara in Rosh Hashanah towards the end. The Gemara says, in fact, like you're saying, we are asking why did the Gemara go into that? Because they were talking about blowing the shofar. If you have multiple people blowing the shofar at one time, the Gemara want to know, is that the same as Megillah or not? Can you also say, so chavav, the people are listening very carefully. That's, you're very welcome. So that, you look at the end of Daf Chav Zayin in Maseches Rosh Hashanah. But now, there's an interesting shayla in the poskim. Let's say you have two people takalating the Megillah, and you're saying it's kosher. Why are you yotze? Are you yotze because you say that since it's so chaviv, I can hear both of them, and I hear both of them? Or is it because it's so chaviv that I can discern one of the two? Not that I hear both, but I can listen very carefully. Both Yankel and Beryl are laning at the same time, but I hear Yankel nicely and clearly, even though Beryl is a lot of commotion and interference in the back, but I hear it because I'm listening very carefully. So you're going to say, what difference does it make? The Maisa, he is Yotze. The difference is going to be whether what happens if one of the two, for instance, is not reading from a Megillah, he's reading from a Chumash. Or if one of the two happens to be a Katan, and therefore he's only 8 or 10 years old, and the Kriya of a Katan, you're not Yotze, except for according to Yehuda and the Mishnah.
What about in the beginning? They both recite the Bracha Sama. Like, how does that work?
The Gemara doesn't go into that. Let's assume that only one made the Bracha, so you don't have an issue. Truth of the matter is, every person in the Kohol could go and make a Bracha if they so desired. However, the minhag is that only the Baal Korei does it, because Brov Am Hadras Melech, you have one person who is being Motzi for everybody, as opposed to everybody making a separate Bracha. But you could theoretically have. That's why in most shuls they announce everybody should be should listen carefully to the Baal Korei and listen to his bracha. The bracha, the Baal Korei is going to be Moitziyu, and you should be Yotze from his bracha. But
so otherwise, I'm saying, so theoretically, if both of them said the bracha, who would you be focusing in on?
You could listen to either one or both of them, and they'll both be Moitziyu, and you'll be Yotze by listening. But the question is, if you have now, it's putting aside the bracha, now we have the two kriyas, is it because you hear both of them simultaneously and that's why you yotze, or because you only hear one of the two and that's why you yotze? Then afkamini, if one of them is not a kosher Baal Korei, for instance he's a cotton, or if one of them is leaning from
cotton, we have the machlokas.
Repeat again, assuming that you hold like the Rabbanan, no cotton is qualified. Assuming you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, if you're less than 9 or 10, you are disqualified. So you have an 8-year-old that's leaning from a kosher Megillah. You have an experienced Baal Korei who's a Godel, who is leaning the Megillah at the same time. If you say that the reason why you're Yotze is because you hear both of them simultaneously, so then you're Yotze. It's taka true, one of them is a cotton. Taka true, one of them is looking in a chumash. But the other one is a kosher, he's a gadol, and he's reigning from a Megillah, so I'm Yotze because of that second one. But if you say that the reason is, right, trei kol mishtami, but this chavivus, you only hear one of the two, you don't hear both, then you have to make sure to hear the kosher Megillah lady, because if you heard the 8-year-old, or the person reading from a non-kosher Megillah, you're not going to be Yotze after all. Right, we said in the beginning of the Mishnah, Mokir Shinog Levarach Yivarach. Some places they had the minig to go and make a bracha, and some places they had a minig not to make a bracha. Omer Baya, Leishonot Lacharea. This whole discussion is the bracha at the end of the Megillah Lading. Adel Faner, a bracha at the beginning of the Megillah Lading, Mitzvah Levarach. Everybody holds that you have to make a bracha. The Omer of Yehuda Mishmul, Kol HaMitzvahs Kulam Levarach Alein Uyvel Asiyosot. Anytime you do a mitzvah, you make a bracha before the mitzvah. Now the word oiver is kind of an unusual word. L'chayit should say kulam avarach alein koidem lasiyasan. Why did it say oiver lasiyasan? My mashmadai oiver lishnak dumihu. How do you know that oiver means before? Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchok Amakrot says in the pasuk v'yar achimatz v'yorat achimatz derech hakika v'yavar es ha kushi. This is talking about a terrible time in Klal Yisrael when David HaMelech was facing a rebellion from his own son Avshalom. Avshalom ultimately was killed in battle, and it says that the general, I think it was Yoav ben Tzeruya, if I'm not mistaken, sent a Cushi to go and advise David HaMelech, victory is here, Avshalom has been killed. Achimatz heard about this and knew about it, and he wanted to tell David HaMelech, and he ran more quickly than the Cushi, even though the Cushi had a head start, Vayavar, he preceded him. So I see from this pasuk that the word over means to precede, to be koden. This, by the way, is the only recorded time in history that a white person beat the person in the marathon,
person. But avor means to overtake. Doesn't mean before, meaning he overtook him. So how does...
So when he overtook him, so who got there first? Achimatz or the Cushi?
Achimatz.
He came kodem, he came before. Similarly, the Gemara says, this is talking about Yaakov Avinu, when he sent all his shlichim with all of the tzon uvakar to go and impress Esav. Then it says, he went before them. So again, we see that the word over means to go before. That the Melech HaMashiach is going to come. The Melech is going to go in front of all of the servants and everybody else. The Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to go before everyone. But since it uses the term Vayavar means to go in front of, to go ahead of. So it means before. The obvious question is, if the whole Gemara is trying to tell us that Oiv Lasiyasa means before, why doesn't it just say Koidim Lasiyasa? Why does it say Oiv Lasiyasa? We could have saved ourselves 3 psukim and the last 5 lines of the Gemara, says the Meiri and other Rishonim, because it's coming to tell you the word Oiver doesn't just mean before, it means right before. And that you're not supposed to have any interval in between. So for instance, when you're putting on your tefillin, and you're making a brachul haniach, right after you put the haniach, straight into the mat. Don't hold the tefillin in your hands before you put them on your arm and say, oh, let's make the bracha now. I'm making it before. Oyiv v'las yasa means right before. So that's why when you make the bracha right before the Megillah laying, you don't make the bracha and say, okay, let's go and take a smoke for 5 minutes and then we'll start laying the Megillah. No, it's going to be right before.
Why don't you make before Netilas Yadayim? Why don't you make a bracha before your notel?
Yeah. Ah, why do you make a Netilas Yadayim after you wash it up before you wash it? Probably the rinse is in, just like Brother Shai said, because your hands are tumbling.
Well, what about for bread?
What about for bread? The reason, I mean, why do we make a bracha there afterwards? Also, the reason why we wash our hands is because they have exhaled in the good old days that Shtam Yadayim Shniyoy say. Brother Shai will be able to give you a long lecture about that. But the point is that in the times of Chazal, the times of our Gemara,
Shadim and all that.
Not related to that so much, but we were concerned people that are eating truma, especially the Kahanim, eating truma, that maybe unaware to them, they were walking down the street and they touched something tameh. They touched a dead sheretz, they touched a nevela, whatever. And so therefore there's a special takana that the Kahanim, before they eat truma, they have to wash their hands. Unfortunately, today we don't have truma because of the fact we don't have a base of Migdash, etc., and we don't know exactly where the Kahanim are. It became a broad gezeirah, a broad takana, that everybody washes their hands before bread, and therefore it's because you're concerned that the hands may have become tummy, they may have touched something that they shouldn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, a similar question by Lilith about how relates to Yasin, how we had to, how in the order of taking it and how to.
So Brother Shai points out, when we learned Masechta Sukkah, we had an issue. Since you make the bracha whilst you're holding, nobody. Tosis asked the Kasha, if you're holding the lulav and esrog in hand, and now you're starting a bracha on tilas lulav, it's not uivalasi yosan, you've already been mekayim the mitzvah as soon as you pick it up. So the answer, Tosis gives four answers. One of the answers is that in fact, leave the lulav and esrog on the table, say the bracha, and as soon as you finish on the tilas lulav, pick it up immediately. Don't spend even a half a second. That's not the minhag olam. The minhag olam is to go and turn the esrog upside down. Therefore, you're only yotze the mitzvah derech gedila the way it's supposed to, the way it grew. So it's only when it's up and not when it's down. So therefore, you make the bracha. You're not yotze yet because you don't have the esrog in the right way. Then you immediately can turn it over and then be yotze the mitzvah right after the bracha. But that's the sense of the word over. Over means takef umiyad, immediately, not before, but right before. Okay, continue on the Gemara weiter. What bracha do you make before the Kriyas HaMegillah? Rav Sheish is mikatarzia. Ikla the Kamid Ravashi, Uborach, he made a bracha manach. What means manach? Says Rashi, that's Rashi Tevois. Mem means Mikra Megillah. The Nun comes from Sheasa Nisim. And the Ches comes from Chiyonu, Shehechiyonu. So these three letters tell you, you make those three brachas, and of course, that is our custom today, we make those three brachas. L'acharei amai, what do you make a bracha? Amai mevarech, parchato Hashem l'kinu melech oilam, arobis rebeinu, adonis dineinu, adonis nikmasenu, anifel lana mitzareinu, abshal l'gimelech oilam nashenu, baruch ato Hashem, anifel yisrael mikol tzareh. That's the bracha that you make after you finish the Megillah laying. Rav Omar, hakel ha-mashiach, instead of Baruch Ato Hashem, Hanifal Yisrael, Mikol Tzareihem, Baruch Ato Hashem, Akel HaMashiach, Oh, HaMashiach, Oh, Mirapapa, Hilkach Nemrim Letavayu, we're going to combine the two, Baruch Ato Hashem, Hanifal Yisrael, Mikol Tzareihem, Akel HaMashiach, and that is our custom today, that we put the two together, and you remember that Mendy brought out the famous halacha, Torah, Shtikl Torah of the Teplikaruv. Teplikaruv was a very choshev Arov who lived after, he lived during the Shoah, during the Holocaust, came to Eretz Yisrael, and he passed away, not too many years ago, maybe 20 years ago, in Eretz Yisrael, and he says, as you know, at the end of every Masechta, we always say, we enumerate the 10 sons of Rapapa. Achoy Bapapa, Rabhina, Bapapa, Debra Bapapa, Rachu Bapasha, Tabba Bapapa, Baba Bapapa. Why do we do that? The Yam Shel Shloimeh says the reason is because Rapapa was a wealthy individual, and he used to go and sponsor all of the siyumim for all of the Bnei Torah in his time. So when a person made a siyum, Rapapa says, it's on me, I'll take care of the caterer, I'll pay for it. So we want to thank him, we want to remember him. But another reason which is given by the Teplik Aruv is because we find 10 times in Shas, where there's a machloikis between the Amay Roim, and Rapapa says, let there not be a machloikis. Let's take the two together in classic Ahavas Yisrael and Achdus Yisrael and merge the two. So therefore, every time we finish a Masechta, where we're all doing it together as one, we remember our Papa, the symbol, the quintessential symbol of Achdus and Ahavas Yisrael. Let's get it together. Let's not have
machlokes. Reb Shimon Deutsch is a descendant of Rav Papa.
Exactly. Exactly right. Beautiful. You said it well. B'sheni b'chamishi b'shabbos. And on Shabbos b'mincha, kayim shloisha. Hani shloisha k'negmi. What's that as three? Why not four? Why not two? How do you get three aliyahs? Ravasi k'neg treinu b'yim k'suv. Tanakh is three. Rav am k'neg k'hanu b'yim Yisrael. Right to my Elohad Atani Rav Simi. Ein p'chsin miyud. Psukim the base of Knesses by Yedavra Oilam and Minyan Hani Asura Kenegan Me. Let's ask a follow up question. You always have a minimum of 10 psukim every time you lay. It's only one exception on Purim morning. We only have 9, but typically you have 10 psukim. And the Gemara tells us Vayidaver is one of the 10. Why does he want to have to tell us this, Rashi? Because Vayidaver Shalom Moshe Leimer doesn't really teach us anything in terms of Limud HaTorah. So I might think that that's like a Hakdama, like an introduction. No, that counts. So you have 10 psukim. How do you start to give me what's up? 10 psukim. I'm Rabbi Shimon Levi. Can I get a sir about learning from basic Knesses? This once again we had at the beginning of the Masechta that it was customary in all Ayores Gedolois to hire 10 people who will be in the basic Knesses the entire day. They would presumably be sitting and learning like in a yeshiva or kolo type of atmosphere. And the reason why they paid these 10 people is to make sure that there'll be a minyan at all times. If somebody comes in late for Shacharis, he has 10 people, he can say Kaddish, he can go and say Baruch Hu.
Isn't the term Batlanim someone who's lazy?
That's what it sounds like. So Rashi, at the beginning of the Masechta, takes pains to say that the Batlanim are Melacha, but they are Osek in Torah, Tefillah, and Gemilas Chasson. So those are the 10 Batlanim. That's why you have 10 Psukim. Rav Yosef Amar, Kineged Aser Zedibris, Shinemr Lamoy Shabi Sinai. This is a little bit of a strange Gemara. After all, weren't the Aseres and Dibros told to Gantz Klal Yisrael? Why does it say only them with a Moshe? So you recall. I'm sorry,
the
whole why?
Only the first two would be a Moshe.
Very good. So what Brother Chai tells us is what the Mepharshim say, because only the first two, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said for the rank and file of the whole Klal Yisrael, and they were so tzeshitted, so tzechish, so tzemish, so tzeredit. That means chil ura adi yechazen. They were so fearful of, full of fear and trepidation. In fact, the Gemara says in Shabbos that they all walked backwards, I believe, 12 mil, I believe the Gemara says, because of the fear and trepidation. They heard this huge call from the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, and therefore they asked Moshe Rabbeinu, please spare us. So Moshe Rabbeinu was the one that heard the other 8, and then he transmitted it to the rank and file of Klal Yisrael. So Moshe Rabbeinu was the only one that heard directly Pia Gvura all the Aseres and Dibros. So that's why it says Shinim and Moshe and Bisina. Anyway, so that's why we have 10 Aliyahs, Keneged, 10 Psukim, Keneged, the 10 Aseres and Dibros. Rabbi Yoichan and Omar, Keneged, Aser and Moshe, Behem, Nibra Oilam. The world was created with 10 Ma'amorais. What are the 10 Ma'amorais? V'yoyim and the Bereshis. You look in Bereshis from the beginning until the end of V'yoyim Ashvi, Shomaz Vayin Ofash, and you count up all the V'yoyimers, and that means Aser and Ma'amorais. I counted them. They're only 9. They're not 10. So the bracious nami mamerhu. The word bracious at the very beginning is also considered to be a mamer. Chziv b'dvar Hashem shemayim nasu ubruach piv kol tzvoav. So b'dvar Hashem that bracious borlekim esa shemayim the esa aretz that bracious that at dvar Hashem that's also considered to be a mamer. So you have 10 altogether. 10 psukim. Okay. Now that we have 10 psukim and we have 3 people, how do you divide up 10 psukim to 3 people? Says Rava, you can divide it up any way you want. Omer Rava, Rishon Shekara Dalin Meshumach, if the first person lays 4 psukim, perfect. Sheni Shekara Dalin Meshumach, perfect. Shlishi Shekara Dalin Meshumach, also perfect. How do I know? Rishon Shekara Dalin Meshumach, it says in the Mishnah. B'sholish kupa shesholish sholish soyin shemehen toymen eselishka vayikasa lein aleph beis kibul deiva izemehen nitrima rishoin lahakrimi mena rishoin shemitzvah berishoin. This is a Mishnah in Gemara in Masechtas Shkolim as well as in Yuma, where it says that every year people gave the machtza shekel. They took all the machtza shekels and they filled up a whole bunch of boxes with them. And they wrote on the outside of the boxes, on this one Aleph, this one Beis, and this one Gimel. What's the reason why? So that three times a year they would go and take coins from those boxes and use them to go and buy the karbonis that were being brought in the Beis Hamikdash. But they first emptied all the coins in box Aleph. When that was finished, they went on to box Beis. When they were finished, they went on to box Gimel. Whose difference does it make? Take from Aleph, take from Beis, take from Gimel. So we see from that Mishnah, no, there is an importance to go and take first come, first serve, so to speak. You took from the first box and then from the second. So therefore, since I see from there, there's a mitzvah Marishayim, if the first of the three aliyos, the first one lanes four psukim instead of three, mishubach, that's perfect. And similarly, continues more emtzai shikar abar is also mishubach. Not the tanya el mul panem noyri irush shiva saneris malam shivatzad panem klapi nem arabi nem arabi klapi shchina. What does all of that mean? We have the menorah, as you know, in the Beis Hamikdash had seven lights. So there's a machloek, but this is going according to the Man D'Yoma that holds that three of the lights were turned towards the middle, the other three were turned towards the middle. In other words, the three on the right, where the wicks were turned towards the left, the three on the left, the wicks were turned towards the right. So all six of them were looking like they are all, if you will, giving cover to the middle one. That's why they're all turned mul panei hamenorah. From this we see that the middle one, that's the special one. Okay, so the same thing applies by the laning. If the middle one wants to lane four, that's fine. The achron shikar arba is also mishubach mishem mal makodesh v'loy meridin. We always want to be mal makodesh, like by Hanukkah, we go from 1 to 8. We keep on going up and up. So here too, you go from 3 to 4. Also good. Rav Papa ikol be knishta the abi gubar the karer rishayim arba. The person who got the aliyah, he lained four psukim. Vashvach v'yarapapa, and Papa said, good ketan, you did it perfectly. Like our Gemara says, you have every right to go and lane four. Ein person may name Moisifin. And then we learned in the Mishnah that the Poiseach and the Choisim are Mavarach. Tana, ha-Poiseach Mavarach l'fenea, v'choisim Mavarach l'achareah. The first person who gets the first aliyah, the Koyin, he makes the first bracha, and the final aliyah makes the final bracha. But today, you know why everybody makes both brachas? The Chacham decided to make a takana because of people that come in late and people that leave early. It's hard to believe, but this is Ein Kol Chodesh Tachas Hashemesh. This has already been a problem for thousands of years, that people come late to shul and people leave shul early. We're not looking at anybody in particular. Chas v'shalom, I'm looking at the ground. The point is, what's the issue? Let's see, Rashi, Mishim ha-nechnosim, Rashi about 10 lines before the end. Shem yikonis ono lemesak nesis ach shem beirach rishon. What happens if somebody comes in the middle of laning? The koyin has already gotten his aliyah, and he made his first bracha. And then let's say it's Shabbos, for instance. A person came in late, and now he hears the second person gets called up, and the third, and the fourth, and the fifth. And nobody makes a bracha until the very end, the final person. So he says, he'll come home and say, I see the minig in this shul is that they don't make a bracha lefaneh. I was there for a half an hour for the laning, and I only heard the bracha at the end. He doesn't tell anybody that he missed the first bracha at the beginning. Those people that have to leave early. He only heard the first aliyah that he made a bracha. He heard a bunch of other aliyahs, but he never got to the end. They'll say, there's no bracha at the end. I was there for half an hour, listened to the whole laning. Okay, I missed the last part. But nobody made a bracha l'acharel. So therefore, to make it conclusively clear, you have everybody make a bracha l'fanei l'achara to go and take away any doubts. We'll stop over here, Rabbi Yisai. Have a wonderful day. Tomorrow we're going to talk about Rish Chodesh on Rish Chodesh and Yetzer Shem.